CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, morning. Yeah, let's get cracking. Got a lot to do this morning. It is Monday. CliffCentral.com coming to you live this morning. Isn't that nice? Live this morning. What as if we'd be dead this morning? Lots to talk about, lots of cool things to get to. I see Ryan has already put up a reminder. Don't forget to like today's show. That's why I put it on the screen. He's right, otherwise he gets fired, you see. So this is how we cull. All right, so Mash will be with us in a moment or two, and then we've also got Leanne Moll joining us. It's a Monday, so that's what happens on a Monday, just reminding you. Everybody's busy all over the comments section this morning already with just happy hello morning Mondays. It looks very optimistic for a Monday, I've got to say. So I hope you had a good weekend. If you did anything fun, you might want to let us know about that. I had a very lovely birthday party for my mum. Well, I didn't have it, but my dad organized chiefly, and then everybody else climbed in. She had a very nice 70th birthday party, and 70 feels like such a long time. You know, I remember when I was a little kid, my grandparents were all in there, maybe late 50s, early 60s. And I thought, wow, these people are so old. And then, you know, you're suddenly attending a 70th birthday party, and it's not just anyone, it's your mum's. And you're like, good God, I'm old, let alone, you know, you can get old. So it's an interesting thing to see, to go through, to be a part of. It's special. We're all very lucky, obviously, that my mum's been around for 70 years. We've been able to, share that presence for that long. I know there are lots of people in the world whose mum or dad or both are not around, and they're extremely young, you know. So these are some of the things to think about, and you're kind of reminded when if you spent 2 seconds on any of the British news networks over the last 2 days, you would have just seen, you know, nonstop coverage of the Queen and the funeral. It's going to be like this for 10 days, they say. So apparently the funeral's set for Monday next week. I think Westminster Abbey. Anyway, if you tuned in for even a second, you couldn't help but be, I'm always so impressed by how these people line up, and they come out of their houses and they stand and they clap. And there's something about the English that, you know, even if you don't like them, and there are lots of reasons not to like them, just ask the Scots or the Zulus or the Afrikaners or the Indians. The Canadians, well, they're half and half, I suppose. The Americans. But if there is anything about the English that's quite charming, it's the fact that they are able to get out there and always do things with, like, dignity. It just seems to me that there's, like, a dignified way they do these things. And you can see that they also love a show, you know, and they like being part of that. And there's so much of that to talk about, too, because even though, you know, some people will say, well, this is stupid and irrelevant, you know, and who are these people who wear crowns on their heads and that kind of nonsense. But even you can't be, you know, you can't fail to be moved by this stuff. Jean says, where is the no stupid people sign? Jeez, you really are paying attention. It's over there. I've just moved it, but I'll bring it back. We've also had to change the camera for this morning, which is irritating me because this one just decided to stop working over the weekend. I had a similar situation with my internet. It just, for some reason, it just died on Friday. And I thought, uh-oh, I'm not going to be able to do the show today. Oh, no. But luckily it all came on and started working again yesterday. Otherwise we wouldn't be here doing this. You can hear I'm still suffering from the last stage of being sick, which I have been now for almost a whole week. Very irritating. Went for a cortisone injection, which is fun, let me tell you, on Saturday morning. Certainly sorts you out. You can walk. You forget that you're feeling sick for a little while there. Vyasin says, my mom had a zest for life, but she passed at 58. Value the time you have with your parents. Yeah, you're absolutely right. G-Star says, the British didn't start slavery. They ended it. The world is a better place because of Great Britain. Fact. That is true. I mean, there are countries in the world today that are still committing slavery. Not whole countries, but the citizens of countries. North Africa, the Arabian world, there's still a lot of that that goes on. Places like Yemen. So yeah, there are still countries that are doing this stuff. And Britain, but you know, I mean, this is what, I can't remember if it was Piers Morgan or it was Tucker Carlson, or one of these people did a thing about how, even if, you know, all you can say about the Queen is that she was some kind of the head of some system of colonizers, then if you're going to criticize that as a total evil and write this woman off, her 70 years of doing stuff because, you know, we'll call her this colonist, then you have to actually disavow all those improvements that colonialism brought, including the end of slavery, including the intellectual seeds of the Enlightenment. You have to throw all of that out because you can't, I mean, if you're going to simplify colonialism as a net bad, I want an accounting. And if we're going to do an accounting, there are going to be some good things as well. So let's look at those. And it's a difficult thing for people to do. You know, they don't want to have those conversations. Ah, Mash is there. 14 past six, Mash. Where have you been?
We've had some technical difficulty this morning here at the studio. So, hey, it's been a tough morning. It's been
a really tough morning. How was your weekend?
My weekend was quite eventful. Oh, where do I even start? So it started off with, I went to an event on Saturday morning. Lots of fun. Mm-hmm. It was a charity event. So that was a really fun event, although it was really hot. Saturday was actually the most hottest day thus far.
It was really warm. It was sure.
So hot.
Absolutely.
Sure. Even in my complex, people were swimming and making noise. I actually had to complain.
Swimming already?
Yeah, yes, they were swimming already. In fact, some people were swimming in August, now that I think of it. So it was lots of fun this weekend. And then at the event, I met someone. That was fun as well. That was pretty much it for me.
All right. Well, got all of that. Can you hear me?
Yes.
We've got to check on these things. There's quite a lot more we want to get into a little bit later on. I saw that apparently South African musicians, when they go broke after their fame is over, this is something you've been paying attention to as well, Mash.
Oh.
Yo. Are you going to name names, or are you just going to make us feel bad?
Zahara, Dr. Malinga. Shame, I'm going to name them one by one because it's the truth. And this is happening right in front of our eyes. We cannot ignore it. These musicians, they become super popular, super successful, really quick. And they think that this fame will never end. They think that, I'm in it, I'm in the bag, and I'm not going anywhere anytime soon. But they forget that fame, I think, is a tool to get you to where you want to be.
Yeah.
Fame is not the final...
That's not the goal.
Like, block. You know, it's not the goal. It's not the goal.
Yeah.
So these guys get their fame, start making money, blow all that money, start giving away money, and then they end up on I Blew It vibes.
I remember Zahara was asking for money not so long ago, and she was like making a public plea.
She was.
Right? Now,
yes.
Did anyone help her? Because I remember there was like this big noise on the internet about it. Did anyone actually go and like send her money? Because she was about to get kicked out. She hadn't paid her rent.
She was about to lose her house, which is weird because this is the same house that she said elsewhere that she bought cash. Now it's being foreclosed and she's not paying her bond. It was really confusing because I was like, well, clearly someone lied some way, first of all. But that's not the point. The point is that why are they being so reckless with their money when they're at the top?
Well,
because now we end up having to start a charity for them later on.
You know,
it is so...
Maybe a part of it is that they're embarrassed to admit that they're not earning as much as people think they are. That could be the first one.
Yeah.
Second thing is this is a much more horrible thing if it's true. I hope it isn't. But, you know, there's some people who just, that you can give them as much money as you want. They cannot manage it. The more you give them, the worse they actually are. So there are people like that. Then there are unfortunate people who've just never learned because no one's ever taken them under their wing, explained to them how things like tax work, you know? And maybe that's, I'm trying to be sympathetic as well, because I don't think it's easy to be performing every night for your life. It's got to be tough. I mean, especially when you're at the very top, there must be a lot of rewards. You know, you kind of only have to do the minimum. People come because you've got such legacy. They'll spend any amount of money on a ticket. But the musicians in the kind of middle and bottom, they struggle. It's hard.
That is the truth. Yeah.
So I kind of feel a bit sorry for them. But I know what you mean. If you're gonna flaunt this stuff, you're gonna tell people, oh, I bought this house cash, and then a few months later, you're gonna be begging for money. I mean, that's just.
That is really sad. And SARS is always watching. I mean, I heard somewhere that SARS even has a social media division now where they just scan people's social media.
They do.
And they see that, Jabu is not driving an X6M or a what. Mm-hmm. Hey, Mang, Jabulani is not driving an iX, BMW iX. Where did Jabulani get an iX? Because Jabulani works at ShopRite or something like that. It happens all the time. And yeah, that's how they're getting caught, some of them. And they get caught. And what I really find really funny is the fact that your SARS will never come for you while you're doing well, while you're at the peak.
They'll wait till you start to fall.
Come for you.
Yeah.
Yes. They'll wait and wait and wait years, sometimes 7, 8 years, 10 years, 15 years. And then they come for you and say, oh, Coco Baba, you owe us 15 million or whatever.
Right.
It is so sad.
All right. Well, at least we brought it out there now. You've got it off your chest. You mentioned names. You did well.
Yes.
So obviously one of the questions straight up, Chris T says, oh no, Mash probably went on 5 dates this weekend. Just wait for it.
Oh, I wish I went on 5 dates. I just went on 2. So, because it was so hot, I had trouble staying indoors. So I did go home immediately after the charity event and I tried to stay indoors, but it was so hard. It was so loud in my complex. All the kids are playing by the pool and I live close to the pool. So from my balcony, the pool is right below. And
oh boy,
okay. They were just playing and making so much noise. And the thing is, I can't complain during the day. I can complain in the evening, but during the day, they have right of way.
You just basically have to tolerate it.
And I just have to tolerate it. So I was like, I need to get out of this house right now. So I just, there are some people I was talking to previously and I was like, listen, let's meet up McDonald's Day or coffee or something. Let's see how it goes. And it went pretty well.
Good.
It went pretty well. Yeah. So I didn't have to juggle or lie to anyone or I didn't even double book myself.
I'm so impressed. Or walk around in your robe or any of that stuff.
Yes, no, thank goodness. I didn't do any of that. But I did rock shorts. It just felt so good to just rock shorts for once.
You know what? I just love this time of year. I've said it for the last, 5 shows in a row. I love it because there's something very healthy about the sun, obviously. There's something beautiful about the way everything goes green. There's something new and like springy about it that's just very exciting. And if part of that is that you don't have to wear bloody long pants every day, awesome. That's a good enough reason for me.
It's beautiful. Sign me up. Mm-hmm. So I'm really excited. Just wearing a shirt today. Really good.
I know.
It's really good today.
Terrific. We won't make you stand up to prove it's just a shirt. Luzanne says here, yeah, we did help pay for her house. I think that was Zahara. Propaganda says there are just too many options when it comes to artists. You're only as good as your last song. That's also true.
But they forget that.
Yeah. For a lot of them, the money is the point, like you were saying earlier.
Yes.
And you can see it, especially when they immediately start singing about money. You know, as soon as their first success, and they're like talking about what they're spending their money on.
Yes.
But I don't, I don't know if, in the case of Zahara, people actually ended up paying for it or not, because I don't know whether she's even in the house anymore. You know, they don't do,
no follow up.
There's no follow up. It's like, here's the story. This is what, this is going to make the noise. And, you know, there's no follow up. So just get over yourself.
Yeah.
And if you ask the question, everybody's like, I don't know. Cause clearly they didn't care about, they didn't care about the story. So who are we going to kid, you know? All right. Well, while we're talking about, you know, stars and getting money and things, you, is it true you opened an OnlyFans?
Oh dear.
See,
I did.
I heard this.
And it only lasted a few hours. It didn't even last long. So I just opened it. I opened it as a little.
You're not very good at this. Are you too good at it? Or are you useless at it? I mean, what happened here?
I think I'm a bit too good. I think I was too much of a pro, and they were like, hey, you're too much for this level. Go to the other websites with the X's. But
really?
I opened an OnlyFans account, and
Jesus, Mash.
Yeah, I was just, as I said, I was bored this weekend, and it was quite loud. I was really bored.
All right.
And being indoors during such hot weather kind of messes with your mind a bit. So I decided, you know what? Let me try something different. Let me try something new. Let me open an OnlyFans. And I did. And I set my profile picture immediately after setting the profile and verifying with my ID and all of that, adding my banking details.
Oh, you have to give them all of that information.
Yes, you need to add all that information.
How long did all of this take you? This must have taken you like a whole morning.
Not even. It took me like 2 hours.
Sounds like a lot of admin.
And then, yeah. And then I set my profile picture, and an hour after setting my profile picture, I get an email. Hey, your account is suspended. I'm like, I just made it.
What?
I just made it. Yeah, I guess I went in too hard.
What do you mean? Your profile picture was like outrageous.
Hey, it was absolutely outrageous, even for OnlyFans.
Okay.
So they were like, hey, let's stop this boat before. Yeah, they're like, if that's the profile picture, we don't know what the hell he got on post.
So they suspended my account.
They
got afraid in this. That is incredible. You must be very, very scary with your imagination. If you got banned within hours of joining OnlyFans. I mean, you didn't even get to have a subscriber.
Not even one subscriber, unfortunately. But I'm thinking of trying again. But actually, I did try again, first of all. But then my email is linked to the suspended account. So I have to use another email. So I have to create another email. Because such things, you don't use one of your main emails for. You have to use a burner email. So I'm considering actually creating another burner email to create another account. Because we have to do what we got to do.
You're the only person I've ever heard from who's been... I mean, I didn't even know you could get banned from OnlyFans. That's hilarious.
I didn't know either. But I guess the rules are everything. There's no limits in terms of your feed. But there are limits in terms of your bio and your profile picture.
Wow.
Because those are front-facing.
Right.
So, unfortunate. Because those are things that people can see without even being subscribed to your account. So I had to just, you know, suck it up. And I'm going to create another account this weekend.
My God.
As soon as I have the time. Plus it's summer.
And you won't
back
get
at gym.
You won't get thrown off the second time.
No, if I get thrown off two times, then definitely I have to, you know.
Then you must
jump in front of a
then you must reevaluate.
Something wrong for sure.
No, then you've got to reevaluate. You've got to think carefully about this. All right, well, it's just about time for some headlines.
It's time to go.
it's just about time for the headlines, and we've got Dr. Hanan joining us this morning as well. He'll be with us in just a short while, so stick around for that. All right, so first of all, the the report is out, the Pala Pala report. You know, the one that Cyril doesn't want us to... Yeah. And they have called the president a criminal and a gangster in the report. So we don't know what's going to happen there.
No lies detected.
Sounds pretty hardcore.
No lies detected.
So, sure. I mean, obviously there's some things that need to still be cleared up here, but this is a News 24 story, so I 50% believe it's true. then they've given us a timeline of all the things that will happen when they bury the Queen. I'm not going to go through them.
So she's not buried yet?
Are you kidding, Mash? They're going to bury her not today's Monday, next Monday. There's a lot that has to happen.
Why next Monday?
Oh, my God. There's like 10 days of stuff that's happening. It's a. You think black people make a fuss at a funeral? Wait till you see the royal family.
Wow, I thought black people make fuss of a funeral. Because we'll be there peeling carrots the whole week. We have to feed
Let me tell you,
all the damn grannies who want tea the whole time.
It's a show. This is going to be a big show. So they're taking 10 days to do it. Yeah, so I'm not going to go through the list now, but we'll get to it. And then it's getting difficult to say this too, but King Charles, right? Because we don't say that's his name now. He's King Charles. King Charles III.
King Charles.
Told Harry that Meghan was not welcome at the Queen's bedside. Dun, dun, dun. Do you care about this?
Oh, jeez.
Do you care about this?
I don't really, but it's very juicy. I love drama.
Okay. All right. So I hope it's juicy enough. But here's the story. Let me give it to you. It's from this is from EWN. Okay, so according to this report, and you never know how much of this is true, who are the people who leak this stuff anyway, right? That's what I'm always thinking.
That's true. Who are these people? Because if it's a conversation between King Charles and Harry, who leaked it between the two of them?
Well, that's it.
Or Meghan.
So, Meghan. In the final hours of the Queen's life, her children rushed to her bedside. Prince Harry said he and his wife were also going to attend, but it's reported Charles told his son that the gathering was only for the closest family and that Meghan would not be welcome. Dun-dun.
Yep.
Yeah, they had posted on social media that they were flying to Scotland, but it's reported King Charles told Harry it was inappropriate for his wife to attend. In the final hours, without consulting the rest of the family, Prince Harry said he and his wife were not going to attend, but it is reported that Charles told his son the gathering was only for the closest family and that Meghan would not be welcome. They kind of repeat the same.
I promise you.
The same line over and over again.
Meghan leaked it.
You think it was Meghan?
Meghan leaked it. If I'm not welcome anyway, I'm telling everybody. I am telling everyone I know. And I'm tweeting that.
Well,
if I'm not welcome anyway.
I suppose you make sense when you explain that she's the one, but she's also such an attention seeker, right? Like, if this happened, she'd be furious.
Yeah. Remember, she loves a pity party.
Mm.
She loves being the victor in every story.
Yes.
And in this story, she looks like the good guy.
Yeah.
Charles looks like the bad guy.
Right.
Yeah. So I do actually believe that she leaked this.
Yeah. The arrangements.
I believe she leaked it.
It says here at the end of the story, the arrangements highlight the tense family ties which bind Prince Harry to the rest of the family following a controversial interview he and his wife Meghan have conducted with journalists in the US where they're now based. Ooh, they didn't mention it was Oprah. That's quite influential.
Oh,
it's worth mentioning Oprah, you know?
Always.
Mm-hmm.
Always.
Anyway, two people were rushed to hospital after a fire at a place called Presley's. Now, let's just find out where this is. This is somewhere in Gauteng, apparently, according to the story.
Presley's.
Yeah, Presley's. I know there used to be one in Pretoria. We used to kind of joke about
Presley's?
It. Why is Presley's? I don't know. It's like a club. This is in Boksburg. Presley's nightclub in Boksburg. What's that, Mash? Two people have been rushed to hospital after a fire broke out on Saturday night. Ekurhuleni Emergency Services worked at the scene overnight trying to extinguish the raging blaze. However, the building was razed to the ground. Reports said that the cause of the fire started in the club thatched roof. However, investigations cannot start until firefighting operations are complete. Okay. Ever been to Presley's in Boksburg?
It has a thatched roof.
Yeah.
No, I'm not going there to begin with. But either
way, you don't go to places with thatched roofs.
But yeah, I don't go to places with thatched roofs. But that's very unfortunate. And I hope those people get well and get medical attention they need.
Not great.
Jeez.
Imagine you go out for a night of like fun. You want to go and dance, drink, and be with your friends, and then place burns down. It's not
the whole place. And it's thatched roof. It's literally just like you're in like a
Yeah.
It's like you're in a fire waiting
to
happen.
You have to get out of there quickly. Jeez, those thatch roofs can burn, man. All right, but
fire.
No, not good. Okay, so let's look at this quickly. This is interesting. Cape Town residents have been warned of scammers posing as electricity officials to gain access to people's homes. So,
what?
Yeah, the city's warning residents to be extra vigilant. There are scammers who are posing as Eskom or electricity officials, and they come in, they gain access to your home, and then they can, you know, take whatever they want. So they can lock you in one of the bathrooms or worse. So you got to watch this stuff. You don't just let people into your house because they say they're from the electric, you know?
Absolutely. It reminds me of, there was another scam. Remember the agency that counts people? I forgot what they're called.
The Stats SA. Statistics South Africa.
Yes. I think it's them. And remember they were doing the count of all the people in South Africa at some point. Yes, the census. And I remember I was at my aunt's house and some lady was at the gate and she was yelling and yelling at the gate. And I went to the gate to talk to her. My aunt wasn't around. It was like on a Friday afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And then she tells me that, yeah, I'm from census. We're here to count you guys, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, yeah, can I come in? It's so hot out.
They always go like this. They always like trying to like get in and they want to see what's going on in the background.
Sure. I was can I
come in? You know?
Yes. And I was like, no, you can't, but you can ask your questions here at the gate. And it was quite a long set of questions. I think it was like 40 questions she asked me. And every question had a follow-up and a follow-up. And it took about 35 to 40 minutes just standing out there in the sun. But either way, I was like, I'd rather stand out in the sun than let this complete stranger into this house.
Well,
much rather.
I was never counted in the census. Nobody counted.
So they never came to your gate?
Nope.
That is so cool.
Remember, I sort of said, yeah, I'd quite like not to be counted. I don't want the government having more information about me than they already have. But I hadn't really made a decision. I wasn't going to evade them or like pretend I wasn't home. But obviously when they came to my house, and they might have done it more than once, I wasn't here. So, you know, they never counted me. Should I feel left out for that?
No, you shouldn't, actually. You should feel quite lucky. Hmm. Because you have 40 minutes of your life not wasted. So
exactly.
So you've won.
Yeah, no, 100%. All right, so we can get to Dr. Hanan in just a short while. We're not unpacking any of your issues this morning, Matt. Are we, Mash? None of your stuff?
No.
Okay.
I don't have issues that I know
Well, no, I don't think you do. It's other people. You create issues for other people. Let's just put it that way. We'll get to happiness, who we actually got a voice note from just the other day in Australia, and we'll get some info on what happiness wants to talk to Dr. Hanan about. It's really interesting, and you can hear it in her own words. That's all coming up in a short while. We've also, because it's Monday morning, got Leanne Moll joining us, and we've got TJ Stradom, who is a business author who's written an amazing book called Chris Becker's Billions. Got to get that right. It's not like he's just a millionaire. Chris Becker's Billions. Second nonfiction title from him. And we'll talk to him about the book and about Chris Becker and his fascinating life. I mean, he's one of the richest South Africans. And there's still lots of people who don't even know who he is. Amazing, amazing. Hey. Yeah. Very, very clever businessman. He's now largely retired, but easily one of the smartest people in South Africa and has an incredible legacy that he leaves in business. So it was only about time that someone wrote a book about him. And that is what TJ Stradom has written. We'll be talking to him a bit later on. Apparently, this is interesting. Ryan says they also want to ask how many TVs you have to see if there's a TV license. Don't let them in. Is that true, Ryan, that the census people also, we're making people pay their TV licenses? I don't think so.
Oh, wait. They did ask about
that.
Did they? Sorry, I forgot.
Did they?
Yeah. Hence, the questionnaire was about 40 minutes. They asked. Hence, I said they had so many follow-ups. So for every answer, they had like 5 or 6 follow-ups. They'd ask you, do you have a TV? Yes. How many? If you say 2, They're going to ask you like 10 questions about every single TV.
Oh my God.
It is ridiculous. If you have a girl child and not a boy child, they ask you even about the child's menstrual cycle. It
oh,
is
Jesus.
Ridiculous. They ask you so many ridiculous questions. It's just, it's a joke. It's a joke.
I'm so pleased I wasn't asked. Oh, yeah, here, Carl says, thank goodness you waited for Sia to leave before introducing Dr. Hanan. Every week would have been about him. Ah, that's mean. Horrible and mean. Lucky says, MASH and lies. Same WhatsApp group.
Hi, Bo.
That's nasty.
What lies?
Yeah, what lies? That's awful. What lies beneath? Here's not lies, but Lee Ass. Hello, Lee Ass.
No lies.
Have you just come out of load shedding?
Yes. The bane of our lives again.
Well, you at least know.
I know someone who just got solar power, and they were extra smug this week.
Oh, yeah. That's Ooh. The new smugness. That's when you know someone is like, yeah. Used to be, oh, what do you drive?
Everything.
Or, you know, where do you live? Or what job do you have? Or now it's like, oh, you've got solar. Oh, Jesus. You know?
Living your best life.
Right. Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. Here's an interesting one. Claire says, since we put a rubber snake in the window, we have very few people knocking on our door. That's a good one.
That's very smart.
So that'll stop what? That'll stop the census people. That'll stop the Jehovah's Witnesses. Mm. It'll stop people who come from charities to ask you for money.
Mm.
Who else would?
You know, this reminds
me. You need a very realistic looking one, and one that you could press a button that can go up and like start to hiss.
Alex.
Yeah, exactly. Mm.
Reminds me of a show I watched this weekend. I actually forgot the name of it, but I'm sure you guys saw it as well on Netflix.
What?
It's a show about some strange girl who's actually taken in by some family. She's found in the middle of nowhere and she's taken in by some family. And then, cool, she's a strange girl and she has like an upside down star carved in on her back. And this family takes her in. They like her. She's a vibe. She's very well behaved. Until one night they have dinner. And they ask her to say, she offers to say grace. And as she's praying, starts off all well. It's like, thank you for the food, blah, blah, blah. Then she's like, oh, hail Satan and stuff like that, halfway through the prayer. And things. And things.
What's
just
this?
Took
is this a
turn.
Movie? What is this called?
It's a series, which the name of I can't recall at the moment. I'm actually checking right now. I'm still watching it.
Doesn't that sound horrible?
Really good.
Is it a comedy?
No, it's not a comedy.
I was gonna
it's
say.
More like a.
It sounds a like horror. A horror.
Oh.
Yeah,
Devil in Ohio. Devil
oh my God! Ohio. All right.
It's really good.
What
check
the
it
hell?
Out.
I haven't. I didn't watch anything this weekend. I don't think I was in front of the TV for 5 minutes. No, I was. No, I did watch a bit of the whole royal funeral thing. You can't not. I mean, it's like you look, because you also know it's historic, right? You know there's something going on there that you should be paying attention to because this doesn't happen so often. So that's part of it. But I'm not the kind of person who once these news networks start repeating, because they do, they're like they start showing the same footage and start going over the same stuff, then I'm out. You can't watch for longer than that.
You can't.
No. Mm. Anyway, what did you do this weekend, Ass?
Yeah, quite a bit of Queen stuff. Also, a lot of my clients are in the UK.
Oh, yeah.
And so we had to be extra careful about what we said to them. You know, you can't say, I'm so sorry you've lost your Queen. They might have not been wireless at
all. Yeah, exactly. You don't know.
Especially, and then, you know, when it comes to putting stuff on their social media pages, some of them wanted to go dark. So, you know, black profile picture, no posts. Some wanted our beloved queen, our royal sovereign, cherished sovereign, marking her birth year and death year. And so I had to keep an eye on all of that and watch out for comments and people's views. And, wow, I mean, the youth of the UK has changed a lot since the days of Princess Diana, and they're quite opinionated and quite against the royal family at the moment.
Really?
And then, you know, for, yeah, absolutely. And then, of course, there were a lot of South Africans who had things to say about this. There was an American professor who tweeted something quite shocking, which Twitter banned because it was against the rules. But obviously, you know, people screenshot these things. And it went along the lines of, thank goodness she's dead, and I hope she was in excruciating pain before she died. So there are a lot of anti-royal
She sounds like a charming, lovely person. You imagine how much fun she is to be around. She's wishing a complete stranger an excruciating death. Jesus, what's her problem?
Maybe she's married to Piers Morgan.
No, well, she's a professor at a U.S. College, and she's probably a raving lunatic. But okay.
Yeah, and then there were some South Africans as well. I mean, you know, if you really think about it, it's the whole colonialism aspect and the changes, and it's, you know, some would label them massacres and genocide, even in certain countries like Kenya that was associated with colonialism. Some people still angry that she has stolen South African diamonds in her
Stolen from who? Like someone else was wondering.
From South Africa.
Yeah, but someone else was. We didn't own the diamonds. South Africa as a country never owned the diamonds.
Yeah. So you see how sensitive it is.
Stolen. If you're going to use the word stolen, if you're going to use the word stolen, I need to see your chain of causality, and you had some proof of ownership. Like whenever you say things were stolen, otherwise you're talking shit.
Exactly. These are people decades later saying, give us back our diamonds.
Yeah. Yeah, who, like you dug it out of the ground, and what, you've lived to 120. Yeah. It's amazing. Mm. Teach us all how.
Because I also, as soon as the news was announced, I shared a picture of her onto my Instagram, and the response I got, people are very surprised. Yeah. They were like, why would you post her? No. So you support colonialism?
Oh, boy.
That's the only thing I got. That's the only response I got from people. They were asking me, why would you? You're black. You shouldn't be posting her as a black person. And I didn't know how to react to that. I just think we lost a great... I think we lost a great amount of history with her.
Yeah.
You know, she carried a great amount of history, and the monarchy used to have this almost glow about them, this godliness about them.
She was a special woman. Listen, I think even if you hate the idea of monarchy, even if you hate the idea of hereditary anything, you have to give this woman credit. I mean, to do the job she's done for 70 years with such grace and dignity and nobility, and without putting a foot wrong more than, I mean, a few tiny times. And most of us couldn't even do that for a day, let alone for 70 years. You know, think about the number of embarrassing things, Leanne, that happened to you in a given week. I mean, you know, if I think about the stupid things I've done, the undignified, dumb things I've done, the way I've behaved sometimes has just been horrible. Now, if that was under the microscope of being her, she's done that for 70 years. What, you have no appreciation for someone who can do something that well for that long? Then I don't really care what your opinion on colonialism is, because you're looking at the wrong thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, we've got to move on, and it is time for Dr. Hanan, who joins us now. Hey, Doc, how are you? Good, 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 good. It's a bit soft there, but I think we can pump up your volume a little bit.
And I'm struggling with the audio. Hopefully you can hear me.
We can. All right. So Mash and Leanne, if you just mute yourselves in case, so I can just get clearer sound on Hanan. And then, Doc, I want you to meet Happiness, who's joining us on the line from Australia. Hey, Happiness, how are you?
Hello, good, and how are you?
Good. Nice to see you in screen now and not just hear your voice note. So very good to have you on. Now, you dropped us a voice note just the other day. Do you want to tell Dr. Hanan what you need to talk to him about?
Sure. So I think the voice note was different to the email, but my email was about my love life or relationships in general. Sure. I have this bad luck. I'd like to say. So what happens is, I am someone who, I'm not a person that would say like I like men, I go out looking for men. But when it happens, you know, I get so excited, I get fully invested, like I'm just that person. Already in my mind, I'm thinking wedding, kids, meeting of the parents. And then the person is just like a douchebag, like the person gets physical too quickly, or the person just wants to lay in the sheets. And it's like every single person to a point now where I'm just like, I don't want men, you know? And I guess my question today is like, how do I channel that out? Like, how do I separate? Because obviously if you're in a relationship, you're going to want to do those, you know, those things. But how do I find like a genuine person to a person who's a douchebag? Because also I don't want to be single forever, you know, I eventually want to get someone. So like, yeah, that's where I am right now.
So happiness, are you single at the moment?
Yes, I'm single.
Okay. And are you out there dating, and how are you dating? How are you finding dates? Are you going on apps? Are you meeting people in specific circles? What are you doing?
I want to say this without getting into trouble because I work a lot. Some I find at work. I tried the dating apps thing. It's just not for me. The people are just weird. Also a friend of a friend, you know, get to meet, and then yeah, it doesn't work out. So I think there's no like one place I find guys. It's just like all over work or friend of a friend or events, yeah, things like that.
Okay, and what happens on the first date when you date these men? What happens? Where do you go and what do you do? Are you physical on the first date? What happens?
Yeah, that's the thing. You see, most of these guys don't even take me out on dates.
So what happens? So how do you get from meeting someone to being physical without going on a date?
Usually it's like the talking stage. So like I'd meet the person and then we'd just be talking. And then maybe we find ourselves in the same room and then they want to be physical, whether it's my house or at an event. Then they'll just, you know, feel very comfortable, but they never goes to a date.
Okay. And are you physical with them?
No, I don't let it go there.
You don't let it go there. Now, what do you do? Do you reject them? What do you do then?
I think because I'm a bit timid as well, I let them, like, it doesn't get to sex, right? Because I don't allow it, but they become touchy. And then I get turned off and just block them or ignore them or whatever. Yeah.
Okay. And now you're feeling despondent that so many men are just like that.
Yes, like all of them. Nobody wants to get to know me. Nobody wants to take me out on a date. That's my issue.
Okay. And tell me, happiness, what is it that you want? What do you want out of a relationship?
I want eventually to get to marriage, not now, but I want like a serious relationship. That's the word.
Okay. So I'll tell you the number one mistake that I see amongst women, especially somebody in your position that wants a long-term relationship. They want to get to know somebody and find a companion. The problem is that you know what you want, but you're not communicating that and setting boundaries effectively. Because the truth is you need to learn to interview the person, because the number one mistake that couples make, or at least when they start dating, is they don't actually assess each other's value systems. So you want a long-term companion, and that's what you're looking to date for. How do you know that's what he's looking for?
Mm, okay.
Have you asked?
I think, so I'll give you an example with the last one. So this one, I was like, you know, I'm going to set the boundaries. I'm not going to allow it to get there, you know? And when we were communicating, I communicated it, not knowing that I'm actually giving him ammunition to kind of manipulate me. So what I did was I told him, this is me. I don't want no sleepovers. You're not coming to my house and whatnot. So then he found a way to get physical somewhere else. And also he kind of told me, like, I don't have the capacity right now to be in a serious relationship, whatnot. But then he was doing things that are done by people who are in a serious relationship. And because also me, I won't lie, I'm not completely innocent. I liked him, like I really liked him, and I liked his character and his morale. So I just kind of went with it. But obviously it gets tiring because he's not fully like there, but he's there. I don't know if that makes sense.
Right. Okay, so let me give you a method that will help you sift out the, let's call it the superficial guys to the ones that are looking to give you exactly what you want. The interview process is going to be very different between wanting a companion and interviewing somebody for the long term versus interviewing somebody for the short term. So think about it. If you just wanted to be physical with someone, just for the night, you don't have to know them more than one night, then the interview and the questions of what you ask them in the date, because that's what a date is, it's an interview, is going to be very different compared to if you want somebody that will share hopefully the rest of your life with you, right? The quality of the question. Think about, and I'll give you an analogy of a job. Imagine you hiring somebody for the day versus you hiring somebody to run the company with you for the rest of your life. The interview process is going to be way different between the two. And if you want somebody that will be a companion, you've got to interview them as though they are about to take on that role. Now, there are specifically 8 fundamentals. So watch this podcast again, because I want you to make notes of these. There are specifically 8 fundamentals that you have to tick, 8 boxes that you have to tick when you're interviewing somebody for the long term. So we have trust, communication, common shared values, compromise, the need to feel desired, practical contribution, intimacy, and attraction. Those are the 8. And when you interview someone, this is the way I want you to think about it. I want you, obviously, in the first date, you'll go and have fun and you'll enjoy, and certainly you'll set boundaries, no physicality. You'll set boundaries. So, and you enjoy each other. And at the end of the date, I want you to tick those boxes and ask yourself, in each box, I want you to give it a green light, an orange light, or a red light. Red light means it's not there, it will never be there, it's done. And when there's a red flag or a red light, it's done, no more second interview, thanks for coming, not interested, no second chances, doesn't matter what my heart tells me, I'm following boxes. Because if you've been listening to me in the show, we don't follow our heart, we follow our heads, we tick boxes. Right, and I'll double click on that one in a second. But if it's red, it's done. If it's green, then we're good to continue. If it's orange, and orange means I'm not sure, then you dig in and you go and figure it out, and you ask questions to turn an orange into a red or into a green. A red, by the way, will never turn into an orange, will never turn into a green. But an orange, once you ask the questions, you will quickly figure out whether that particular box is a red or it's a green. If it's a red, it's done. If it's green, you continue. Now, people will say, Khanan, what do you mean you don't fall in love with your heart? Mm-hmm. Your heart's a liar. Your heart's a liar. Our hearts gravitate towards what's familiar, not necessarily what's right. So if you follow your heart, you will naturally keep on repeating familiarity and what is known and what is familiar to you, as opposed to what is right for you for the long term. So I've never had a case where somebody's ticked those 8 boxes that I've mentioned and the heart later on doesn't follow. The heart will always follow, because eventually when the trust is built, when communication is built, intimacy, attraction, when all those elements are built, eventually becomes familiar and becomes safe, and your heart is able to open up and connect. I want you to interview the guy, especially, by the way, I would never say this to you if you were interviewing somebody for the short term. For the short term, it doesn't matter. It's all about intimacy and attraction, and it's done. Those tick those 2 boxes, we're good to go. But if you're looking for somebody to run your life with you for the rest of your life, those 8 have to be ticked. And if it turns into a red, it's done. An orange, you dig, and a green, you allow yourself to continue.
That's a that's amazing stuff. I mean, happiness. We're all listening to this and thinking, "Wow, there's stuff I could look at in terms of those 8 things and green light, yellow light, red." I love it.
Honestly, like it's things like what you're saying. It's things that I know, but I think the most important thing I needed to hear was the heart one. Because everybody tells you, just follow, like, you know, like, go with what your heart tells you. Like, if you really like him, just stay, you know? So I think I needed to hear that. Like, just use
my heart. The heart's a liar. Happiness, the heart's a liar. The heart's not, it's not facts. People really trust what they feel. Don't trust what you feel. Think about it. How many people trust their heart when they get married? Everybody, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now the divorce rate is like at 55%. You know, the heart's a liar. You know, don't trust your heart. Your heart can't predict what will happen 7 steps down the line.
Absolutely. All right. Well, happiness.
Tick boxes. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I hope that helps you let us know whether things improve or not.
Yes, I will do.
Cheers, happiness. Wow, Doc.
Good luck.
Yeah, I've never heard you with those 8 things before, and they all made perfect sense, and you line them up, and you kind of have to think about your own answers for each of those, whether you've been in a relationship or you're thinking about going into one. And those are just the best things.
You have to interview properly.
Mm.
You know, there's so many people out there that are looking to take advantage because we've got options. Tinder, you want 7 dates tonight, to just swap, keep on swapping right. It's so easy. And therefore, you have to set those boundaries much stronger now. Otherwise, you are going to get hurt.
Yeah. And it's amazing how, even though we thought that all these apps and the, you know, the accessibility and the communication networks and social media would have made dating easier and better for people, it's almost like the exact opposite is happening. Intimacy just is not a thing that people can do anymore. Small talk, you know, those kinds of questions you ask on a date, people don't know how to do that. They'll do it fine on the phone, right? But they won't do it in person. We've actually gone backwards.
Absolutely. You know, Gareth, the thing is that now that with options, we stop valuing real interactions. Imagine, like, I've got, I don't know, 55 of these pens. If this one, if I lose this one, it doesn't matter. If I don't like the way it writes, it doesn't matter. I've got so many others. And people just swap right up there. You know, they go through pens. So that we start valuing real, real interaction.
I think you forgot the I in the word pens.
The pennies.
The way we the pennies, yeah. But it's so true how it's actually important to make these things transactional and try not to get emotional about them in the beginning, even though the world's saying, "How do you feel? You know, what's your heart?"
Yeah, it's so anti-romantic. It's so anti-romance to, you know, fall in love with your head. But we're going to get a lot further in relationships where we just tick the box as opposed to fall in love with our heart.
Well, Doc, thank you. We will chat to you in a week's time.
I look forward to it.
Awesome. Dr. Hanan Bushkin, and that is what we do on a Monday. We say everything's going to be okay, because it is, in the long run. We've also got a fascinating author who will be joining us in a short while. Leanne Mash and I are looking after you this morning. Stick around. A whole lot more on the way. It is Monday. Good morning. CliffCentral.com.